ourselves at the conclusion of our message series entitled Free. And over the last now 5 weeks, we've spent some time looking through Galatians chapter 5 and kind of working through some of the different contrasts that Paul has laid out for us throughout his letter to the Galatians, and certainly in particular this chapter 5 that we've spent some time with. Now, one of the ways, or one of the things that Paul has been contrasting for us has been faith and law. And I've kind of given you a couple of different equations, I don't know if that's the right word, but to be thinking about, or maybe to help you kind of look at the difference between these two things. We talked about law equaling works, equaling any sort of attempts at self-righteousness, which then leave us enslaved to legalism, or to the law, as Paul would talk about it, being enslaved to, or slaves to, the law. The contrast to that that Paul has laid out for us has been sort of, again, I don't know if equation is the right word, but this sort of thought process of faith, which faith in Christ and the works of Christ, which then allow us to trust in him, which then give us the ability to surrender to Christ, and it is there in that surrender that we find true freedom. And so Paul's given us these kind of two contrasts that we've kind of spent some time with over the last couple of weeks. So this morning we're going to look at Galatians chapter 5, in particular verses 16, 17, and 18. You'll see the words on the screen reading from the NIV this morning. So Paul writes and he says this, "And so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh..." Or can also be translated the sinful desires of our sinful nature. "For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh." So another contrast that Paul is giving us, law and faith, and also Spirit and self. Okay? "For the Spirit and the flesh are contrary to each other," he says in verse 17. "They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." Right? And we've talked about God's grace and the freedom that we have in and through the grace of Christ. And Paul is saying this is not a free pass or a free ticket to do whatever you want. Because the Spirit and the flesh are actually kind of having this battle with each other. So you can't just do whatever you want, he says. Verse 18. "But if you are led by the Spirit, then you are not under the law." Now, to be truly free, the only thing that you can do is accept this freedom. There is nothing that you can do to earn it. There is nothing that you can do to be good enough to deserve it. You can never be worthy of it. The only thing that you can do to be truly free, which comes through the redemptive work and grace of Christ, is to simply accept it. Right? That is sort of the mystery of God's grace. There's nothing that you can do or that I can do to make ourselves right before God. It is simply by the grace and the work of Christ. Have you ever had times where maybe you can think of, maybe right now, I don't know, relationships or situations at work or school or wherever, where you felt like, or you can think of a time where you have felt like you've had to walk on eggshells. We use that phrase, right? Walking on eggshells. And you can think of a time in your life where you felt like you were walking on eggshells. There was nothing you could do or say that, or you weren't sure what you could do or what you might say that would cause the eggshells to break, right? Somebody would just be frustrated, or they'd get mad at you, or whatever the case is. We use that phrase, right? Walking on eggshells. So what I want you to think about is when Paul talks about faith and the law, when you and I choose to live under the law, then I want you to think about in the sense of our relationship with God. It's as if we're walking on eggshells in our relationship to God, right? That we're constantly afraid that we're going to do something or say something that is going to tick God off. And then he's going to want to smite us, right? That's the idea of living under the law. The only thing that we can do to truly be free is to accept that true freedom, which then allows us to not have to worry about walking on eggshells in our relationships with God and our relationships with others. That's why I believe that a Wesleyan approach to theology is one of the, is I would even argue, the most engaging way to interact with our culture and our society today. Because what we try to do is, by God's grace, we try to clean out all of the eggshells from in front of other people. Perhaps you've had conversations with other church people or Christians who, and I mean, I've had this experience, and I'm a pastor, where I feel like people have, sometimes we as Christians, we want to actually put eggshells down in front of people, and then are kind of like, don't step on the eggshells. And I believe that our approach is a little bit different, in that we want to try to remove the eggshells to say, you don't have to worry about saying something or doing something that's going to remove God's grace from you, or that would make it so that you cannot experience God's grace. And so when we talk about being truly free, the only thing that we can do is accept it. And trying to, then what that does is remove that fear of walking on eggshells. Right? When you and I can live in this freedom, that means that there are things that that removes the eggshells from our interactions and our relationships with other people. We haven't set some sort of standard, or we haven't put something out in front of them that's going to cause them to be afraid to be in relationship with you and me. That doesn't mean that we just kind of are, again, right? Paul says in verse 18, I think it is, at the end of verse 17, so that you are not doing whatever it is you want to do. So that doesn't mean that we just are like, cool, live it up. We don't really care about the way you live or how you live or whatever. But rather, don't worry about that stuff right now as you and I are in relationship, or as you're trying to pursue a relationship with God. That stuff, God's Spirit, if you and I choose to live by the Spirit, that will begin to work itself out. So the only thing that we can truly do to be free is accept that freedom. Galatians, if you're taking notes, Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 through 21, Paul gives us a picture of this. He says, "For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God." Verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." This is what true freedom looks like. "The life that I now live in the body, I live for and through and by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." There is true freedom. When we can die to self and live in and through and for Christ. And so this morning I would ask you, as we kind of wrap up this series, talking about free and what it means and what it looks like to be truly free, what is it in your life that you need to die to? What is it in your life that you really need to die to? If we're going to hear Paul say, it is when I die to self that there I find freedom as Christ lives in me and through me, then what do you need to die to? Is it some sort of mindset? Is it an attitude? What do you need to die to in order to truly be set free? You see, because the thing is that Christ cannot save those who persist in trying to save themselves. It is not that Christ is not able, but rather that if you and I keep thinking that we can save ourselves, then Christ is of no value or purpose to us. And that's the whole point that Paul's been trying to make through his letter to the Galatians. If you think that the law is going to save you, if you think that following the rules, if you think that being righteous, if you think that being a good person, it can save you, then what's the point of Jesus on the cross? It becomes of no value to us. And so Paul would suggest that Christ cannot save those who persist in trying to save themselves, not because Christ is not able or capable, but because you and I are not allowing him to save us. We kind of keep saying, no, Jesus, I got this. I can find a way to save myself. When we do that, we alienate ourselves, we distance ourselves from God's grace, because we think we can do it ourselves. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, Paul writes, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in and on which we now stand. Now, the thing that makes us struggle with this is that it becomes an offensive thing for us because it speaks directly to the fact that we can, in fact, not save ourselves. And so it offends us because it reminds us that we cannot, in fact, save ourselves. There is no amount of good that you and I can do or be that will save us. And we don't like that. We don't like the idea that control is not something, that this is completely out of our control. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9 says, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law or from being good or from self-righteousness or any of those things, but rather that which is through faith in Christ. To be truly free, if there's nothing else that you have heard through this whole entire message series, to be truly free, the only thing that you can do is accept that freedom. The only thing that you can do is accept the way in which Christ has set you free. You cannot free yourself. And all of us can attest to times when we have tried to do that and it simply hasn't worked. And if you're still fighting that battle today, you find yourself this morning still enslaved to something or someone. And so God invites us. He calls us into this freedom that is found in and through Christ. And that means that just like any call or any invitation, we've got to respond in some way. There has to be a response. We have to step out of something and into this life of freedom that God invites us to. God has made a way through the works, the redemptive work of Christ, but he will not drag you through the door. He has opened the door, but we have to respond. He has invited us in, but it requires for us to respond. I would suggest that if you and I are not serving Christ, that we are then in fact slaves to something or someone else. If you are not serving Christ, then I would argue that you are in fact a slave to something or someone else. I mean, right, it's when we hear Jesus say, you can't serve two masters. You're either going to serve God or you're going to serve the other thing or the other person. If you and I are not serving Christ, then we're serving something or someone else. Maybe it's self. Maybe it's somebody else. Maybe it's this idea that we think we can be good. But if we're not serving Christ, we're serving something or someone else. And so then we go back to these words in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. And so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, this internal battle that's happening. So much so that this battle is happening that you can't just do whatever you want, because whatever it is that you want and I want to do may not be the thing that the Spirit actually, in fact, calls us to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, then you are not slaves to the law. Now, the threat of being enslaved by something or someone, that threat comes from the outside, right? You can turn on the news, you can turn on the TV, you can be online. Sometimes we have, now I don't know how many of you have had the random, like, random spam advertisements that you get text messages where you're like, wait, how is this a thing? Like somehow you're texting me advertisements now. Constantly we're being inundated with the temptation, the call from the outside to be enslaved to something else or to self, right? That's our culture. That's kind of our thing. Go do your thing how you want it, when you want it. And so the threat of being enslaved comes from the outside, but it also is this internal thing, right? And that's where Paul says that the spirit and the self are constantly battling each other. So the threat of slipping back into being enslaved to something is not just an external thing, but also becomes an internal battle. There are these two paths that Paul lays out for us, the path of self and the path of spirit. And it's a dangerous thing to underestimate our own desires. It is a dangerous thing to think that your desires aren't that strong or that you can handle or resist them on your own strength. Right? That's why the community becomes such an important thing. And when you and I think that we can handle these internal desires of self on our own, we put ourselves in an extremely dangerous position. When we hear Paul talking about living in the Spirit, it is moving outside of ourselves. It is moving outside of self, which then allows us, as we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks, which allows us to live into the true freedom of Christ and then be free to love and serve others. It will change your life if you can practice dying to self. I guarantee it. I guarantee you that if you can practice dying to self, it will change your life. Die to self, live for Christ, it will completely change your life. Hard. Extremely difficult. So much so that Paul says it's an internal battle that's happening daily, all the time. It will change your home life. It will change your work life. It will change your spiritual life. It'll change your emotional life. It'll change your relationships. It'll change everything. When we live by the Spirit and we try to walk down the path of the two, right? Self and Spirit. And when Paul says we can walk down the path of the Spirit, it frees us to love and to serve in ways that we would have never thought possible. Because otherwise I'm focused on me. That's why this invitation and this call to live into and to step into Christ's freedom is sometimes an offensive thing to me. Because it calls me to and invites me to die to self. I don't like that. It shifts the source of my motivation off of self and onto or into God's Spirit. That now God's Spirit is motivating me to love and to serve other and die to self. Living in the Spirit, another way I would have you think about it would be by the Spirit, keep on walking. So when you think about the path of self and the path of Spirit, just think about it as moment by moment, by the Spirit, keep on walking. By God's Spirit, just one step at a time. One step at a time, try to walk down that path that God's Spirit is calling us to live by. Die to self. Live into the freedom that is found in Christ. One moment at a time. And the more moments that you and I can practice dying to self and living in and through Christ, it becomes a little bit easier and a little bit easier, and it becomes something we think about a little bit more, and then the next thing we know, it starts to become a part of who we are as we strive to daily walk this path. Now, as you have, I'm sure, experienced and lived in your own life, the opposite path is always calling. Right? When you're trying to walk down the path of the Spirit, yourself is like, no, it's Matt, just come over, just jump over on this path just for a little bit. It's no big deal. Like, it's fine. You deserve this. You've earned this. Like, just jump over here for a second. You can jump right back on later. It's all good. Right? The other path is always calling. And sometimes even when we find ourselves going down the path of self, the little angel on our shoulder, which I would like to think is God's Holy Spirit, kind of whispering in our ears and in our hearts, going, hey, Matt, the path of self is not going to lead you to a place of freedom. It's not going to lead you to a place that you think you want, that you think you might want to go there. It's not going to take you to a place you want to go. And the other path is calling me back. God's Spirit is calling me back to go, hey, this path, this is where true freedom lies. Right? The other path is always calling. And when we can, by moment, walk by the Spirit, then we might see that we can live and walk down that path where there's true freedom. There we are free to love and to serve.